It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Hello, everybody. It is C2E2 time. It is that magical time of the year where people way too old to do physical labor are building giant boots and tearing them down and hauling long boxes. People are spending way too much money because things are 50% off. It's an exhausting weekend, and we are right in the middle of it. So what we did this week was we tried to do broadcast live from the floor. We took our iPhones, ran around, talked to anybody we can, and checked in with each other. So what you're going to hear is a few snippets right in the moment, a few interviews, and basically check-ins with John and Steven and Dave Gonzalez. It's a lot of the guys you've heard on the show so far. So let's get right to it.
All right. It is 2:17 on Friday, and we are here at Starbucks, and it's John and...
Steven.
David.
And Joe, hello.
So we just grabbed a minute. We were actually in the Starbucks, because everybody else is taking a chair.
Yeah, everyone else is on the booth, which is nice. I get a little break here. Love me some breaks.
Yeah, how's it going so far?
So far, it's going awesome. My biggest problem that I have every year at C2E2 is falling in love with every girl I see. That is my biggest issue.
Yeah, we just saw a Han Solo that looked like Allison Brie.
Yeah. Yes.
And I came right out and said it.
We're going to have to chase her down.
I already did.
Did you?
Yep, I got a picture right here.
Where?
There you go. Just
okay, yeah, right there.
Over. Smooth B.
I'm going to be busy for a minute, so y'all take over.
So
that picture is going to ruin my marriage.
Oh, my God.
Man. You know, I don't know.
She's with Ben Reilly.
Why is she with Scarlet Spider?
Seriously, it always works out that way.
I'm going to punch that guy.
I don't know if I could ever date
the hot girls
player.
Always date the shitty clones.
We saw the coolest Nova. This guy had a light-up costume.
Mm-hmm.
And his eyes lit up. That's pretty badass. But it's been...
And there's a black bat. Dave whipped out the... Dave has been whipping out the smooth on the girl cosplay.
Just like it's no big deal at all.
If my baby's listening, Rose, they lying. I've been pretty good. So, yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah.
So far it's been a good show. It's ticket sales this year, they told us, were 86% higher than they were last year.
And we're in a bigger space.
That's a double convention.
And the Chimera booth right now is facing the variant stage, which is very interesting.
Yeah, we're in a... I still feel like it's a weird place, but everyone else seems really enjoying it.
It's definitely a weird place. I just don't know if it's weird good or weird bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's both. The good, Mark Waid. The bad, Sing Along Buffy.
Yeah, right now Mark Waid is doing trivia. And we just watched Sing Along Buffy, which I didn't realize until we were halfway into it. They didn't sing.
No, yeah, they were lip syncing. Yeah, but they were acting and stuff on stage.
They
had a huge crowd, though. It was enormous. All the people lined up. And unfortunately, that crowd is bigger than I think the Mark Waid crowd was when we left.
No talent having lip singers.
No, none at all.
They had a lot of crowds.
Yeah, but so far it's been going good. It's been a good show. It's been a busy show. This is the first day. We got two more days going. We set up yesterday, and we'll be taken down Sunday night, which will take all night.
Wow.
That'd be rough.
Yeah, I won't be here for that.
No, you won't be here for that. No, it's going to be me, Carmen.
Dan.
Well, Dan.
You stop right there.
Yep, that's the end of the list.
There's 11 staff badges that I'm hearing are floating around for Chimera's 12, Comics.
Right?
12.
12.
Yeah. But let's see how many are active when it's time to cut down.
Yeah.
You're going to have 9 of them.
And Dave was saying if you've got to be haggling with these people. You're not a good haggler, Jen.
Oh, no. When Dave jumped in, this is what happened. We went to a dealer.
Never pay.
You know, he didn't even let me.
He didn't let me try.
I found 3 more Kirby Fantastic Fours.
Nice.
And Dave took them out of my hand and went, yo, my man, you give me this for 4, right? And the guy was like, okay. And then I pull out 2 more, and I'm like, I'm going to ask if I can get a deal for these. And he grabs it and goes, yo, my friend, I got $20 in my pocket now. No ATM fee. You taking that, right? And the guy looked him in the eye and went, 18.
18, yeah. I try. I have this rule that I try not to pay full price
for anything. Do you know you could go to a Jewel and you can haggle?
Yeah, you can.
Really?
Yeah, you can haggle anywhere. Yeah. It's legal. It's not illegal to haggle.
It's a barter system.
Wow.
To this point, it's still a barter system.
But they'll tell you no, but you can't haggle.
They're not going to throw
you arrest
you. Yeah, well, you do like a loaf of bread, so like $1.99, you're like, I'll give you $1.80 for it. You know, you just go down a little. They won't give you that deal. They'll say no, but you know, you can't haggle. It's not illegal to haggle.
Yeah, it just won't get you anywhere, is what you're saying.
It might. works swimmingly for Dave.
Not at all.
Sounds like my wife.
You know, half of it is you gotta be...
She haggles a jewel?
No.
Coupon.
Coupon.
Use coupons.
Exactly.
Wow, my wife just haggles me. You know, but other than that...
Haggles you right into the ground.
Right into the ground.
Right into the ground.
You know, at these places, everyone's just trying to make a buck. Everyone's trying to get their stuff out. So,
everyone,
you know,
wants their shit for, like, not what the price on market is.
And no one wants to take their shit home.
That's true. Sunday's the day to buy, because we don't want to carry this shit back.
I think I'm done buying things.
Are you already?
Well, I may get this stuff. I'll show you the stack I got.
Okay.
I got, the guy had, like, $2 for everything, and he had, some Rochester Spider-Mans.
Nice.
And I got some Kirby FS, and I got, Zatanna. And I got my friend, the Larfleas Guy Gardner. He always hooked me up in San Diego.
Oh, nice.
So he asked for that, so I got it for him.
And I
left it at another booth.
And then you went back and got it?
And got it.
Did you get that Batman variant, that whatchamacallit?
I'm going to set it up right now. Yeah. Listen, this place is so big. You could be in here for an entire day and completely have different agendas. Like, walking with John, I realized that there was an entire section of the Comic-Con that I have never been a part of, which is the whole vendor side of it. Like, I didn't know
that shopping.
I didn't know those guys existed.
That's where I exist.
Apparently so. Like, I've never knew that was there. Like, I go to, I mean, my skill, and I'm sorry for anyone that's an artist alley, but you're about to be haggled and bothered by me tremendously. Because I go to each artist and sit them down and I'm like, what do you do there? What do you do there? Sorry I'm bothering you, but what do you do this? How do you do that? And then...
He's like going to art school when he goes to art school.
Yeah, you gotta go to art school.
He's like, tell me how you do that.
Free art lessons.
Oh, yeah, we nailed down Mark Morales. I knew Mark a long time ago, so we were talking about him maybe coming on. But immediately Dave Gonzalez goes, I heard you made an art table that had 3 FedEx boxes. You show me how. And he drew a diagram.
And he drew it for him, like a blueprint.
Out of FedEx boxes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's still using it.
I mean, these guys are...
FedEx stores across the street from you.
These guys are more than willing to share this information. Like, that's the best part about it. It's like, this is by far
the most friendly. They'll give you 80%.
You gotta know what questions to ask, though, to get the little bit of up.
There's always...
you can trick them into the corner.
Okay. It's like Matt. Matt only gives so much, and then he's got a line where it's like, alright, I figured this out over 10 years, figure that shit out. So he'll give you, you know, 9 out of 10 secrets, and he holds on to one, because then, now you're doing him.
I taught you everything you know, I ain't taught you everything I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she not going away?
Sorry.
So, alright.
Distraction.
That's the perfect thing. If everybody's going for something different, it is Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. What is your agenda for the weekend? Joe.
Hardcovers.
Dave.
Batman variant, the graffiti booth.
Sell. I'm all about, this is a working weekend for me. I ain't got no agendas.
I want a good podcast, whether or not I can get any guests on it.
Yeah, there you go.
I will check in with you guys in a little bit. Well, let's do it.
My name is James Tynan, and I work with Scott Snyder a lot, and he used to be one of my teachers, actually, back at Sarah Lawrence College a few years ago, and it's funny, he was just getting started in the comics industry when I was his student, and he sent me an original pitch for American Vampire, and rather than just saying, oh, this is really cool, I sent him the equivalent of a 10-page email being like, here are all my thoughts. And then he sent me the next thing, and we started talking all the time. I was helping him work on a YA book that never ended up happening. But once the opportunity came around for the backups to happen, he didn't have enough time in his schedule to write them himself, and he wanted someone whose opinion, I guess, he trusted to come on and help him out with it. And, you know, that was about a year and a half ago, and things have been going pretty well since then.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you so much. All right, we got Jimmy. Jimmy's back.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Mark.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Someone's tired.
We're at the Oh Yeah booth without Art and Franco, and that makes no difference at all, because it still feels like they're here. How's it going so far?
So far, so good. Nothing hurts and everything works. You know? 2 days, it's going to be the opposite of that.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing hurts. Everything's going to hurt on Sunday. Yeah.
These shoes are too tight.
And no one's going to help you break down. Nope. That's how it works.
See, you were smart, though. You didn't build stuff in your booth, I see.
Yeah.
No. We didn't bring anything that we couldn't tear down in less than half an hour.
Yeah, he's like,
throw in the box. We're done.
You can basically grab the boxes and run away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and once we found out where we needed to go, Mark and I, the stress level disappeared. You know. It took us an hour driving around asking people to find out. I don't know. Maybe we're not as smart as we thought we were.
We were here yesterday building for like 4 hours, and by the end of it, they were like, let's take out the long boxes, and Joe and I were like, we're going home. Yeah. We're in our 40s, and we're angry.
We've built and we've carried. You sort it.
Yeah.
Mark, I have never noticed your Infinity Gauntlet tattooed hand. That is amazing.
It didn't heal very well in the cold, so I'm getting it redone in a few weeks, and then it should totally work.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's a couple months old.
All right, tell me.
I got it in Florida. I was there for a funeral, and I got it before I came back. And of course, when I came back, was the worst part of the winter. And because I'm a Floridian, it didn't really occur to me, hey, tattoos don't heal so well in the cold. I'm taking gloves on and putting gloves on, taking gloves off.
Just constantly chafing the area.
Yeah, and it blurred the black and the color dropped out. But we're going to fix it in a couple weeks, and it's warming up, so it'll be fine.
All right.
And the joke I keep telling is that it should totally work.
Yes.
Like, I just go... And something should happen.
Better than will. Now, look, now I can never remember this, and I don't have to because it's not fucking tattooed on my hand. Name me all the gems.
The mind, the soul, time, power, space, reality.
Was that six?
There's no coffee gem?
No.
No, that's why we have to go to Starbucks.
Exactly. The soul.
Yes.
Power.
Yes.
Time, uh-huh. Space, reality.
You got him.
Here we go.
Do you know which one is which finger?
I know the power gem is the red one.
Okay. Now, you know what?
The soul gem is the green one. I think time is blue.
Now, when you learn what they all are, the next thing we're doing is tattooing the 10 rings of the Mandarin on you. And then you're going to have to tell me those.
Yeah, except for of all the different tattoos I have, the ones that hurt the most were the ones on the hand. So I'm not sure I want to do the rings.
Sorry, business. Sorry.
How is business?
Business is busy, and we like that.
That's part of business, the word business. Good. That helps.
Yes, yes. See how I work that in?
We were just figuring out the soul gems for Mark.
Business is being awesome, and business is good.
Yes, how can I help you?
All right, guys.
Here's Dave Gonzalez with artist Jenny Frazon.
So, Jenny, when you're getting that paper ready, and it's all set up, what is on the radio, or what is on that podcast that you're listening to?
I actually usually watch a TV show.
Okay.
I find that it helps me because I get really antsy when I'm drawing, and it can tend to make me get up and walk around and leave. So if I have a TV show, it's sort of like, it can't be anything that is really good that requires a lot of attention because I can't actually watch it. It has to be like available when I look up, I can see what's going on, and then something that I can just listen to. And then it can't be really bad, or it'll have the opposite effect where I'll be like, oh, I hate this show, I want to leave, and then I'll walk away. But I watch quite a bit of sci-fi because that tends to have the sort of thing where they're explaining everything that's happening and you don't necessarily have to see it.
Very true, very true. I never thought of that.
A lot of Xena. I watched all of Xena. Mostly a lot of cricket sounds. You'd be surprised. And then fighting sounds. That was like everything, because it was all outside. Everything was crickets and fighting.
It's like their palette is all crickets.
Yeah.
In the background there.
Right now I just started watching, whatever is the new Netflix, Hemlock Grove, the whole TV show.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
Do you like that as well?
It's like really strange and you don't know what's going on, and it's kind of like Twin Peaks, but not as weird.
Really?
Nor, like, not as funny weird. You know how Twin Peaks is,
I like the funny weird of Twin
kind
Peaks.
Kind of a joke, kind of weird. It's just strange.
Okay.
So I'm like really interested to see where that's going.
It's like so boring.
Does Netflix really know that it like sponsors this many artists and their creativity in this process? Because what did we used to do before that? I remember college.
Right? I don't know.
CDs, man.
CDs.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got some sort of idea. Oh, I mean, obviously they were like, people watch a lot of TV shows on our channel. Why don't we make something that they can watch an entire season of and some brand new content? So. I appreciate that.
That is awesome. Now, Jenny, to finish this off, what are you going to be working on soon that we can see your stuff in?
I will continue to be working on Revival, which is an amazing series from Image.
Holla.
And I'm also doing covers for Dynamite's new Red Sonja series. So you'll see me on that. Look something like that.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm sold.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
C2E2 was also the first convention I have ever seen a tattoo section. It was right by the autograph section. So Dave Gonzalez went right over there to talk about design work on skin.
Like, girl that watched Batgirl and Batwoman making out.
That's pretty awesome. That's not a bad idea at all.
That was great, yeah.
I mean, that's borderline. That's like so awesome. It's like, oh, I don't know.
It's no bad at that.
Has there been any time where you had to like talk someone out of a tattoo in these times? It's like, I don't think you're going to want that.
Not really. I mean,
I think that everybody here has been pretty, you know, self-preserved as far as what they're getting, you know what I mean? Like, they all think about it pretty hardcore, and they get them in pretty, you know, like, places where not many people can see them.
Gotcha. A little more conservative with it?
Conservative yeah. places, right.
That's good. They're like, I want to have my geek hood hidden by this shirt the whole time.
Exactly. Huh? They're all suit and tie people.
That's awesome.
You got to make a lot of money to buy all this stuff, so.
True. Very true, right? Now, what's the, like, the dopest thing that you've done that you were, like, looking back and you're like, that's my joint right there. That's what I did. At these cons. Not in your, like, the regular life, but just at the cons themselves.
I'm on a continuous Star Wars sleeve every time I work a show down in Florida. That's pretty cool, man.
That's dope.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, there's a whole Hoth battle scene going up to the galaxy with Slave One and...
Same guy or girl, like,
yeah,
coming
same
in...
Guy. Every couple of months we work on it.
That's dope. That's dope.
Really cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thanks so much.
No, like, bro, I wish I had some better stories.
No.
Just remember this story.
Motherfucker. You see this guy? All right. So we're back on the tattoos, and we're going to talk about this tattoo real quick.
I just remembered this one girl made an appointment with me. She wanted to get a portrait. And I didn't really know what it was going to be until she showed up.
Uh-huh.
And it was a half body of Norman Reedus.
Okay.
And I had to, like, do all this crazy stuff. She was so finicky about, that image is flipped because he parts his hair this certain way and that way, and this is the style of leather jacket that he always wears, and he needed to have these, like, angel wings because he was her angel, and it was, like, so creepy, you know? And then, like, I guess the next day she went down and showed him and tried to get it signed, and he was like, oh, that's
nice.
Cool. I mean, it was pretty borderline, like, over the top, you know what I mean? Like,
that is awesome.
I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be scary, like, when you see your face on someone's body
right,
like that,
exactly.
You're like...
Exactly, that would kind of freak me out a little bit, I don't know.
One of the artists who wasn't at C2E2, but is definitely someone we need to talk to, is Jamal Eagle. I first met Jamal when he was working at Majestic back in 1993 in Brooklyn, and since then he's done a lot of work for Marvel and a lot of work for DC, especially on Supergirl and Firestorm. In 2012, he left DC and he's been doing creator-owned work, Molly Danger, which is right about to launch for Free Comic Book Day, and I can't think of any better time to talk to him. So, yeah, I agree that San Diego's been the thrust for so long. San Diego, I went in 2008. It was the only year I went, and it was getting... It was so crowded that I thought, like, okay, once was enough. I don't want to go back.
It's insane, actually. I was there a lot. I've actually been there the last 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, I was a special guest, and then last year I went because they finally gave me an artist alley table. I was just like, well, let me take advantage of it.
Let me sit there.
But, you know, and I'm going again this year because we're going to be, you know, doing a bunch of Molly Danger related stuff. We got the audio comic coming out around the same time, and then we're doing a half book preview for San Diego, and then the hardcover comes out a few weeks after. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this year.
Wow. So when you say the hardcover comes out right around San Diego, are you planning, is that going to be the first story arc?
The way that the books are set up, each book is 48 pages, hardcover, 9x12. So it's if you've ever seen like a French comic, like a bande dessinée, it's the same format as that.
Okay, so it's more of like a children's book size than a monthly comic.
Right, exactly. So okay. And each book takes about, between writing and drawing, takes somewhere in the area of 6 to 8 months to do.
Wow.
So, well, because the original artwork is, the original pages are 12 by 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an average panel count of about 7 to 9 panels per page.
So it sounds like you're kind of doing Tintin in a way.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it's that format, but, you know, there are breaks in the character development, emotional storytelling for, you know, action scenes.
You're not just running into mystery and telling your dog not to do things.
Right, exactly. I try to explain this to people because I feel like it's the only way that I can really explain it. Is, to me, Molly Danger isn't a superhero story. It's a coming of age story about a little girl who happens to be a superhero.
That's cool. So, now, with each hardcover, are they going to be self-contained, or will the next one be volume 2, or is it just there'll be subplots that'll have
continuity this, between
this,
them?
This is book one, like the initial arc, if you can call it that, is four books. So, mm-hmm. And each one will be fairly self-contained, but it's all part of a larger narrative. There are subplots that run through the entire series.
Okay. So it's kind of like if you were reading, say, Marvel only through premier hardcovers.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. Perfect. Now, how long have you been working on Molly Danger? I know you wrapped up with DC last year, but is this something you've been trying to get to for a long time? Or is it once you left DC, you said, let me self-publish and figure out what I'm going to do next?
Well, no. I came up with the idea for Molly back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, my friend Rich had a small indie comics company, but we weren't going to do it as a comic book originally. We were trying to create a pitch for animation, because at the time you had shows like Kim Possible and Atomic Betty, The Life of Times of Juniper Lee, you know, girl-oriented action shows. So we wanted to do something very similar. And what ended up happening was, you know, we're comic book guys. We just decided, you know, we'll just do this as a comic book. So we did a print ad that ran on the back of the first issue of the I Dream of Jeannie comic book from Airwave Comics, which was the Rich's publishing company. But what ended up happening was I wrote a script. I got about 3 or 4 pages into it and, you know, started getting really busy doing freelance work. We hired another artist, Jamal Peppers, who's done really, really well for himself doing like Sonic the Hedgehog and stuff. And he got a few pages into it and then he couldn't do it. And it just kept getting pushed further and further to the side. I want to say that around 2009 or 10, I was approached by an editor at another company and asked if I had anything, any all ages superhero concepts that I would be willing to pitch. And my initial plan was, I was still on contract at DC as an artist, but I wasn't as a writer. So my initial plan was to put the script together and write the whole series so that it would be ready by the time my contract was up, or, you know, depending on whatever happened. But that, and it, you know, so I basically went and found all the old artwork. I found the original treatment that I had written, looked at it, and said, wow, this is so complicated and so much more complex than it needs to be, you know, having, you know, 8 or 9 years in between gives you a better sense of perspective, I guess. So I rewrote the pitch. I presented it to the publisher. Never heard anything back about it. I sent it to a couple of other mainstream publishers who are doing graphic novels. Never heard anything back from any of them. Not even a rejection letter. It was just like, it just sort of disappeared into the ether.
Yeah, like they never got it.
Yeah, exactly. So I put it to the side for, again, you know, not to abandon it, but I just couldn't figure out how I could get it done if I was so busy doing, you know, all this other stuff for DC. And then when my contract was up at DC, I was finishing up the Ray for DC and my contract was just about up. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going to be the next step? What should I do next? You know, I've done pretty much everything that I said that I wanted to do at DC. And I was feeling a little lost, to be completely honest. And what happened was I was approached by another writer he wanted to do a webcomic, and he wanted to raise the finances for it on Kickstarter.
Right.
And I'd never heard of Kickstarter at that point. I went and investigated the site. I started looking at articles about crowdfunding, and I was just like, you know what? I could do this myself. I don't need to team up with somebody else in order to pitch a project. If I'm going to spend the time that it was going to take that it takes to successfully run a Kickstarter campaign. So I was trying to figure out what should I present? You know, what would be my Kickstarter? What project? Should I come up with something new? Should I dig through the old files of all my old ideas and see, you know, what fit? And Molly just sort of leaped out at me and, you know, took me by the shoulders and said, pick me, pick me, pick me. So, and I actually, like, I talked to some friends of mine. I talked to Jimmy Palmiotti. I talked to a bunch of other people. And I actually had people try to talk me out of doing Molly because they thought that a couple of my other ideas were, you know, would have better results. But I honestly just felt like I looked at Molly and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to say about comics and what I wanted to say about, you know, superheroes. And, you know, and then I looked at my daughter and I looked at my nieces and I looked at, you know, the stuff that I'd been doing up until that point with Supergirl and everything else and Satana and everything else. And I was just like, you know what? This is the project. This is the one that I should do. This is the one that I should put all of my time and energy behind. So, you know, that's basically how I got to that point of, you know, putting Molly up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, and I've been following the Kickstarter campaign and the work mostly on Facebook, through your Facebook. Yeah. And the thing that I thought was really cool about it is I could always see the enthusiasm for the project coming through. It wasn't so much like, I'm Jamal and I have something new and you should buy it. Like, every time I saw it, I'm like, oh, here's this character. And I'm like, well, what's she about? What does she do? And that caught me. So now, with Free Comic Book Day coming Saturday, this is like the first tease, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the first 11 pages of book one.
Okay, now is that coming? Is that a free comic by itself? Is it paired up with another thing?
It is actually. It's the first 11 pages of Molly Danger. It's also a brand new Princeless story, which is written by Jeremy Whitley.
Okay, are you on art on that one as well? Or
no. That's okay. Actually, I. She's gonna kill me. I forget the name of the artist.
She's so good, you can't remember her name.
No, she is. She's actually very, very talented. I just have a horrible memory for names.
No, but that's why I'm trying to save you. You are so blown away by her art that she is no longer a person. She is a force of art. So when you read the book, you will see 11 pages by Jamal, and then a force of art.
It's not doing it.
That's all I got.
No, I'm looking it up right now. I am so horrible. I should. Emily Martin. That is
Emily Martin.
Name. Yes.
Now when you Google Emily Martin, does Force of Art come up on the first page?
Yes, it does.
Yay! We win somehow. You know, this is a much bigger plug than she would have ever gotten had you remembered her name.
I know. Oh my God, Emily, I'm so sorry.
Now, how does that work? Is now Action Labs a publishing company that you're a partner in, or is it kind of an umbrella group where are you self-publishing Molly and you're tying in with someone else, with Emily Martin, who's self-publishing? How are you guys connected?
Well, no. It's strictly creator owned. It's you know, the way that everything is organized is that it's a straight split between myself and Action Labs, and they're handling the bulk of the cost for the financing and publishing and printing and, you know, and what have you. But I retain the rights to the property, you know. and the creative work. It's worked out for them because there's no way that they could have paid for it.
that's why there's Kickstarter.
Exactly.
I'm not seeing a lot of Kickstarters from Marvel. Please, we need to bring Ghost Rider back.
Don't put it past them. If they could figure out some way to do it, they would.
Well, the Kickstarter thing's crazy because now they're making movies from Kickstarter.
Right.
You know, Veronica
right.
Mars is coming back. Zach Braff just made a Kickstarter. And the great question I read in an article is, now everybody who donates to Kickstarter, do they now have to pay to see this movie?
That is it. Well, I know with the Veronica Mars movie, if you donated a certain amount, you actually got a copy of the movie, or you got a download of the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't know. I haven't really kept up with Zach's Kickstarter as much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it went through pretty quickly, and I know. Oh yeah, Art and Franco. They got it in like just a couple of days.
Yeah,
it was a point because they're pretty local to us, and we're good friends with them. So when they announced the Kickstarter, we were like, oh, great, we'll talk about it on the next podcast. By the time we got in the studio, they had gotten it.
Right. Well, Art and Franco also have a pretty big following from all the DC stuff that they've done over the years, and especially Art with the DC Super Pets books as well. So, that was a natural draw. I mean, it was a little bit more difficult for me just because at the time when I did the Kickstarter, it really wasn't that much material generated.
You mean the show?
As far as physical artwork to show to sell the concept, there really wasn't that much where Molly is concerned. I mean, there's much more now, of course, a year later, that I've had the actual time to sit down and do it. But
So as you said, you're putting all your time and energy into Molly, and you're saying this first arc is four books. Are you considering yourself that Molly's now the thrust of your career, or do you still have kind of other places you want to go? Or is it too soon to even think that far ahead?
It really is a little bit too soon to think that far ahead. I have to be completely honest and just say that I don't know what direction I'm going to go in yet. My main, the only other thing that I'm really thinking about right now is how to get book two done.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the sales will be enough from book one to get financing, or to go back to Kickstarter, or whatever. There's just so many variables still up in the air.
Right. Is digital a part of this as well?
Digital is definitely a part of this. That's where we're working on that right now. There's a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of potential. There's a ton of potential. I mean, that's the thing. It's even though this first initial arc is four books, I'm already thinking about five, six, and seven. if things work out the way that I would like them to, you're talking about, at the very least, a 7 to 8 year commitment for that.
Right. Yeah. So you could very well become like a Mike Mignola, where you've got Molly, and even if you're not drawing it, you're constantly thinking of new material.
Right.
And adapting it, which would be an awesome way to go. Now that you've, as you said, you've done everything you wanted to do at DC. Which answered my question. Would there be anything in Marvel that's kind of left unsaid for you? Was there something you always wanted to tackle there, or are you pretty much good with the freelance?
No. I mean, there's obviously stuff that I would love to do. I've got ideas for stories. I've got a Captain America miniseries in my head that I've been wanting to do for 5 years. I've got an idea for Power Pack that I sort of publicly pitched on Facebook a while back. I've got a Hulk story that I would love to do. I would love to take a shot at Daredevil again. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I would love to do. I mean, there's still stuff at DC that I would probably like to do. I didn't get to do as much on Superman on the Superman books as I probably like. I mean, you know, having worked on Supergirl and War of the Superman, and you know, being part of Action 900 and doing the last two issues of Superman before the reboot. I mean, that's one thing. That's big right there. But you know, if the circumstances were right, I mean, if the opportunity to do something else with the character, I probably wouldn't turn that down. But I would have to see. There's so many things and so many directions that I feel like that I could go in right now. Like I still have, even after I finished the pencils on book one, I still have freelance work coming up with IDW and, you know, a couple of other things that are sort of like in the air at the moment. So
you're keeping that part of your career alive. It's not, you're not just all Molly Danger.
Not yet. I mean, if that's the way things end up, then I'm perfectly happy with that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Right. Are you inking as well? Are you?
Well, I'm not inking Molly Danger just because there just isn't enough time in the schedule.
Okay.
But, you know, I ink my own covers and, you know, whatever stuff that I can fit in.
Right. So it's the writing and the penciling that's...
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see the Free Comic Book Day, which we're going to get this one out fast. So you'll see this week. I know Chimera's has ordered it, and I know... and I checked that... that we have ordered Molly Danger 1. I called over and I said, oh, Jamal's going to be on the show today. And he said, did we order Molly Danger? If we had, it had been immediately doubled. So, but this was fantastic. We'll definitely check it out. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks. Okay, so the thing about conventions, it's now Monday, and we're back at the shop.
Monday after the convention.
Yes, we're back at Chimera's Comics, wrapping up the convention, because this is how conventions work.
Yeah, for everyone else who got to go to the convention ended for them at 5 p.m. Sunday night. For me, the convention really ends sometime tonight when I finish putting my store back together.
I don't think that'll be tonight.
No, probably not. It needs to be tonight because I have to pick up the new books tomorrow.
Yeah,
because the weeks keep going.
Yeah, time doesn't stop for some reason.
I don't get a break. You know?
But and that's what happens is every convention that I have ever gone to, I've always had an agenda of I'm going to buy these back issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to meet this guy. I'm going to get this signed. I'm going to go to this panel. I'm going to become best friends with Stan Lee. Right. Every convention
Every convention. One of these days, John.
And it always just turns into utter chaos.
It goes south.
Basically, you end up at the end of it going, what did I do?
What happened?
Happened.
I did get to the end of the third day and just be like, I just remember like walking out of the convention, you know, it was like 10:30 before we got out of there, before, you know, everything's packed up and the truck's loaded and, you know, I'm walking back to my car and it's just like, there's nobody around. This like weird fog rolled in the city. I'm just like walking. It's just like, what happened? Like, where did those 3 days go? It was like Friday, 2 days, like, you know, and it's just like a whole weekend gone.
I feel like there's some sort of guilt that also sneaks in. Like, what did I do?
Yeah, it feels like waking up after like a long night of drinking and just being like, oh. It's like, who do I have to call to apologize? So, it's like, what did
Stanley.
I do? Yeah.
Hello. Don't worry about it,
yeah.
Stephen Brown. It's a convention. They happen.
All the time.
I've done 970.
Right. They're all better than the last.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of you, like John was saying, you go into the thinking we're going to do one thing and you end up doing something completely, completely different. It was just, you know, it was a new location this year at McCormick Place.
It was a
lot bigger, different venue. And I guess they told us ticket sales were 83% higher this year. And Matt checked his phone yesterday when the convention ended. And I guess they posted the numbers. It was like 48,000 people.
Yeah, actually, Lance posted Monday morning, and it was 53,000.
53,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was in a much bigger place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Best thing at the show?
Okay, so greatest thing in the world this week, best thing at the show. I think my best thing at the show was the two Bowen Spider-Man statues.
Oh, yeah.
I bought from Dan at 10th Planet, who's sharing the booth. I always loved Bowen statues, and I have a few of the busts, but I've never owned a statue.
Yeah.
And
I was looking at them all day Friday because they were in the booth.
And they're beautiful.
They're really beautiful. The thing I like about Bone is they're elegant. They're not like in your face and screaming.
It's not 90s statues. Yeah, they're, you know, it's classic.
Not, yeah, it's not veins stuff. Rippling. They just stand there and they have a pose and an attitude and personality. And it was a set of the red and blue Spider-Man, which is very Remedy Senior, and then the black Spider-Man, which was very Ron Frenz, who really did the bulk of the Amazing Spider-Man run. And once I got them home, I can't stop looking at them.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, I actually moved some Hot Toys out of the way for them. And, you know, they're a little pricey because the whole time I'm thinking, well, they don't even move. At least Hot Toys move and they have clothes.
Yeah.
But they're really beautiful. And I thought, if I'm going to have one really special Spider-Man thing, and Spider-Man's my second favorite character, that this would be the one.
These are the two ones. And these still are the ones that they're the most sought after Bowens. For at least for the Spider-Man statues. They've done a few more here and there, but those two are always the one everyone looks at as, like, these are the best they've ever done, and which is probably why they don't do Spider-Man again. They'll wait another 10 years. They'll do Taskmaster, they'll do all these other villains and heroes, and then keep going.
Well, the funniest thing, too, when I set them up, I had a lot of room left on the shelf, and I was like, well, who would you put there? And I'm like, well, what villains? You know, I'm not going to put Venom. I'm not going to put a snarling Venom or a Carnage or... the Green Goblin, in my mind, is such a mess with Norman and Harry and Iron Patriot.
Yeah, figuring out who it is.
So I said, you know, the two that I would care about would be Dr. Octopus, because especially now with Superior, he's a major, major character.
Yeah.
And the original Hobgoblin, which was the biggest villain.
I don't think they've done a Bowen statue for Hobgoblin, have they?
They've just announced it.
Did they?
Crazily enough, like the day after I got it, they announced it. Yeah, so there's another $200.
Yeah, there you go, right down the drain.
Yeah, along with the other five that I spent at the convention.
Yeah.
So this is it. This will be it until next year, right? Well,
you know what?
We're not having another
booth. We talked to Matt Waite, who's Inkshiku, has a lot of creative own stuff, is recently working for Valiant, doing a lot of 8-bit covers. We'll have him on the podcast eventually when he gets a free moment. He was telling us that Wizards actually really turned around. It's under new management. So we actually might consider, at the very least, going to Wizard with retailer badges or, you know, passes or whatever.
Yeah.
And just kind of seeing how the show is, checking it out. And then maybe next year do C2E2 and Wizard.
That sounds good.
C2E2 goes so good every year. We'll do it every year if we can. We'll never not do it. But I have to say, my favorite thing at the whole show, there's a lot, but the main thing was they did the... We were right next to the variant stage where they did all the costume contests every day. And they did one, I think it was Saturday they did the costume contest. A little kid gets up on the stage and he's like the little truck from Transformers, the Optimus Prime truck. And everyone's clapping, everyone comes up and they do it. And then the kid like stands up and transforms in Optimus Prime.
No.
And it sounded like a bomb exploded in the convention. And then they bring everyone back up again for like the last three finals. And it was the Optimus Prime kid, somebody was the... Mighty Morphin Power Rangers dinosaur thing, the big Zord. And then somebody was like the house from Up with like all the balloons hanging from it. Looked really good. And you know, you're supposed to cheer to see who won, and it wasn't even a contest. That little kid walked out there with the grand prize for the costume contest on Saturday. But it was awesome. And he did the trick again. It was the same thing. Like a bomb went off in the show. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
That was probably the coolest thing they had there this
year.
Yeah,
that's our coverage from C2E2, which did not... It didn't go nearly like we thought it would.
No.
It was not nearly as organized. Well, we planned. It's just none of those plans come to fruition.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week. Next week is Free Comic Book Day and Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
So it'll be another On the Run live podcast. And then hopefully we'll be able to sit down again.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it. How do I turn you off?
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.